I've been rambling, but I would say there's been significant change. We still have a long way to go. You had, by, not by voluntary action in any means, but because we have filed petitions and have filed suits in the line of industry, you have blacks, as an example, in the shipyard, working in almost all capacities now.
Is that primarily the Civil Rights Act of 1964, in particular, as it affects public accommodations and employment, and the Voting Rights Act of 1965 been the major factors in bringing about change?
Well, I would say...
After the earlier suits?
Yes. I would say this, that prior to the 1964 Civil Rights Act, passage of the 64 Civil Rights Act, we had desegregated there a Greyhound bus station here, Trailsway bus station, and the municipal airport. Now, we filed suits in those instances as a result of the case of Bonton versus Virginia that was decided by the Supreme Court, I believe, in 1960. I think it was 60. But subsequent to that, the early part of 61, we admittedly hit the trail in making test cases at bus terminals here, and bus terminals in New Orleans, bus terminals in Pensacola. And believe it or not, we desegregated Greyhound bus terminal in Montgomery. You may recall that there was a lot of hullabaloo there when the Freedom Riders came down. But the reason that happened at the Greyhound bus terminal, because the mob stood between the Freedom Riders and the bus station, but the bus station had been desegregated 2 weeks before by us. And the Greyhound bus people were not hard to get along with on that particular question. The Trailways bus people were. They were almost intransigent in that position against change. And you just had to take some very hard action against Trailways. But their Greyhound people, they had a man in Chicago by the name of Hayes Kennedy, who said he was related to President Kennedy. I talked with him, who was an attorney who headed up the Greyhound Post House restaurants. And in any instance that blacks were segregated, denied service in the restaurants, Mr. Kennedy took steps in Alabama to fire the crews that did it. I know that happened in Montgomery when we were refused service the first time, and the next time we went back there, we were served. And he wired us that the persons responsible for it had been fired, were no longer in Greyhound's employ. Now, that's the way he put it, which meant the same thing. And I know he fired the entire crew here of three who refused the service, and the cashier in Mobile when we were refused service. So Greyhound, of course, I imagine civil rights people, like anybody else, they would play up certain things many times, or maybe it's because that Reverend Abernathy and those people didn't know I think Abernathy was connected with the Montgomery effort to desegregate the bus stations. And they did desegregate Trailways, but Greyhound had already been desegregated. So had the railroad station in Montgomery. We did that.
Until the passage of that and the Voting Rights Act, it just took a great deal of energy just overcoming the barriers of segregation, right?
Now, I didn't hear your question well.
I said until the passage of the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act in the mid-60s, a great deal of effort and energy was expended just in establishing the right to vote and the right to use these facilities. Has the emphasis since that time been placed on getting into the political mainstream?
Oh, yes. That seems to be the major direction today, is to get into the political mainstream, and that and jobs. Those are the main areas of concern for black people today.
Have you had any direct personal dealings with George Wallace?
No, we wired Mr. Wallace, or I was I saw Mr. Wallace and shook hands with him last year and talked to him briefly at the time he was in a meeting with, at the time he and Senator Kennedy appeared on the same platform in North Alabama. I've talked with him at one or two other meetings briefly, but we have not had the privilege of talking to him any length of time about these, about race problems.
What was your reaction to Senator Kennedy's visit and decision to come down here?
We gave a statement to the Christian Science Monitor on that. I may be able to find a copy of there. We feel that we haven't closed our minds. I haven't closed my mind to the possibility or the probability. Maybe I should say more than the possibility of a Kennedy Wallace ticket. I'm not quite so certain. I would relish that kind of a ticket, but I think I would prefer that to another Nixon-like Republican ticket. And I think that perhaps Gerald Ford would give us another Nixon-like administration. And I believe that most of the Republicans are too conservative in their viewpoints on the matter of human justice and the question of meeting the needs of our human meeting human needs.
If Senator Kennedy were to get the Democratic nomination, do you feel there are any other Southern Democrats who could be effective as a running mate?
I would like to see a gentleman like the governor of Florida, Governor Askew. I have confidence in Governor Askew. I don't know too much about Governor Bumpers. I'm not quite certain that. Well, Governor Bumpers will now be Senator Bumpers. I'm not quite so certain that that his racial viewpoint would measure up to that of Governor Askew of Florida. I would think that Governor Jimmy Carter would probably be a good running mate. But my first preference as among the Southerners would be Askew.
How do you find other blacks you talk to in that question? Would they like it? I mean, are you sort of a minority view on Askew, or do you find that among?
Well, frankly, I haven't talked to many blacks as yet about this particular question. It's one of the things that has escaped, discussion in talking about this overall political spectrum.
When you get into the legislature, do you anticipate there'll be a black caucus organized?
First, I have a Republican opponent in November. So
you also have a district that's 98% black. So let's say if you get there, then how about his opponent?
Because incidentally, my Republican opponent is black. You have a few blacks who have identified themselves with the Republican Party. If I should get elected, I would feel that it may be important to the black legislators to form themselves a caucus. Because I found in my postal work that there were just some certain problems among black folk that required an organization such as the National Alliance of Postal Employees to deal with those grievances. I would say where Jewish people are concerned in the postal service or any governmental service, the same thing applies. Almost where any minority, where Mexican Americans may be involved, the same thing applies. Because we people just have learned to live together with a sense of total fairness toward their fellow man.
Anything else you wanted to ask for?
Anything we should have asked you that we haven't asked you?
Yeah, I'd forgotten you were taking it on tape. Maybe I wouldn't have rambled so much. I'm terribly sorry, right. And I should have seen all
I'm
that
sorry.
Right there. But I hope out of my rambling that you can get something that would be helpful to what you were trying.
You optimistic about the future for blacks?
Oh, I see significant periods of change that have taken. In retrospection, I've seen significant periods of change. I think much of it depends on blacks themselves. I think that blacks have the responsibility of making themselves acceptable to their fellow citizens by their conduct, by their ability to, by their own initiative and the determination to take a rightful place in our society. And I don't mean, and with the realization that with rights and privileges are responsibilities, that along with rights and privileges, one must accept responsibilities. And I believe that if we develop a greater potency in politics, we become better educated. You do find an increasing number of blacks who are going to college now. We aspire for better jobs and maintain our self-respect. That some of the problems which confront black people today are going to not necessarily disappear, but they are going to be alleviated. When I think about the history of the Jews, as smart as Jews are, there's still special problems that affect Jews. There's still people who persecute Jews. So I'm not looking for any utopia where black people are concerned. But I do hope that in the direction we are going today, and the direction that our country seems to be going, with the exception of on this busing question. I can't go along with the attitude of President Nixon and majority members of the House that busing is all at once becomes a terrible evil. And I believe if we can overcome this particular problem with a sense of fairness toward everybody, that would lead toward a unitary school system where understanding may be developed, that we are going to have a better America. Anybody who advocates separation of the races merely because one man happens to be white and another happens to be black, in my judgment, is he's not following the sort of precepts that have made this country great. And segregation and the black who becomes a separatist and who talks about what he hopes to gain by segregation should have lived about 20 or 30 years ago. If he lived 20 or 30 years ago, he should not forget the damnable evils that segregation imposed on black people and the humiliations of 20 or 30 years ago. And one would begin to question whether that person is sincere in what he's doing or whether he hopes to separate the black people from the mainstream of American society for the purpose of using them, and I wouldn't rule that out, using them to some sort of foreign ideology. That may sound far-fetched to you, but I wouldn't put it beyond certain elements in the black community.
There was one thing I did want to ask you about the local situation, and that is in local legislative races. We've got a legislator, Republican, such as Burt Nettles. Which nonpartisan voters lead? Been on that.
Well, previously, when you were voting on a countywide basis, we often supported Burt Nettles because we thought Burt had some pretty good, we thought he had some pretty good planks in his overall platform to offer to the people. We found, as an example, his attitude toward the price of milk, that he certainly had a very sincere sympathy toward the consumer, and he was for abolition of the Milk Commission. So am I.
Well, if he becomes minority leader in the House, which appears to be a pretty good possibility, would you anticipate that blacks and Republicans may form a coalition on certain issues? More or less on reform type issues?
Oh, possibly, yes. Yes, on reform type issues, yes. I would believe that.
What is it about Edwards that blacks find appealing? Because he's one of the very few Southern Republican congressmen who gets black support.
Mr. Edwards has not been... Well, we previously had an intimate relationship with him, a most intimate relationship. We have talked to him with candor about his racial viewpoints. We have protested to him in instances where we felt that he was doing something that would be inimical to the unity of black and white people. Now, we're not unmindful of the problems that a white politician has out there with his white constituents. And many times he has to walk a tightrope if he hopes to get reelected.
Does he have blacks on his staff?
Yes, he has the son of a police officer here on his staff. And incidentally, I know one or two blacks. I don't know whether he would want this publicized or not, but have been one or two blacks from Mobile who have been entertained in his home in Georgetown without any thought of race or color or anything of that sort. And up until he got in there, that just didn't happen. Edwards, in my opinion, as one who knows him pretty well, I mean in an intimate way, I certainly don't agree with his views on busing. I'm not unmindful of the fact that if he hopes to get reelected, with most of his constituents having a closed mind on busing today, what I would class as a closed mind, that he has to please most of them because you just don't have the black votes to get him elected. Then you find today the black vote is somewhat fragmented. It goes in three or four directions. I don't know how the Nonpartisan Voters League is going to vote this time. The Democrats have a very fine young woman who's running for the state legislature.
You mean for Congress?
I'm sorry, for Congress. And there is a likelihood that they may support her. I don't know. Or they may double endorse. I don't know just what they're going to do. But they have had this organization and black people generally have had a fairly good communication principle with Congressman Edwards.
Is there anything else you wanted to add that we haven't discussed?
Pardon?
I said, is there anything else you wanted to comment on that we didn't discuss?
I think we have just about, we've covered most of the civil rights field. We've covered much of the political picture as I see it. And I don't know. I don't remember anything. I can't remember anything further that we could discuss that would be helpful. I've appreciated the opportunity of talking to you gentlemen, and I must confess, as I said a while ago, I'd forgotten that this was being recorded.
That's all right.
And I did a lot of rambling, but I trust out of that, as I said a little while ago, that you may be able to get something that has some substance to it and can be used.
We appreciate your giving us this amount of time on such short notice.
Yeah, it took in a Sunday afternoon.
LaFleur later said that his home had been bombed. So
7 years ago, and that he had to move into a new house. That subsequently it was shot into, and his belief was that the shooting was done by black militants, the bombing by whites. End of interview with John LaFleur. No more transcription, this tape.